Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the historic Starland Ballroom here in Sayreville, New Jersey. And tonight, once again, we are WrestlePro! And at this time, please join me in welcoming WWE Hall of Famer, Diamond Dallas Page!
Bang! What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Dave Destruction Sturcio, here with another jam-packed episode of Destruction 101, episode 18. So, my baby, my precious Destruction 101 is an adult today. So, wish him a happy 18th birthday. 18 episodes down. 143,000 plus downloads in 18 weeks. I think that's pretty cool considering I have zero star power. I am not a former WWE superstar. I have never made it to the WWE. I've never been to the promised land, I guess, of my respective sports that I report about or anything like that. So 143,000 downloads. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You could subscribe to this on iTunes, as Blaine will probably tell you. It's the best podcast out there to listen to. It's usually the best 40 to 50 minutes of your week. So do that. Subscribe on iTunes. I don't even know how else you're listening to this thing. Stitcher, WrestlePro Online, which kind of redirects you to iTunes anyway. And of course, exclusively on the Shining Wizards podcast. Thank you so much, Tony, for having the patience with me to get my numbers just so I can be, put my mind at ease and submit a resume to something pretty big. So what is this pretty big thing? Well, I'll tell you. Why not tell you? Because nothing's a secret anymore. So what I did was, obviously, if you know Coach D, Ace, our guy, one of our newest members of the WrestlePro office. He's a fantastic human being. He manages Espanicos, which is Team España, and Nicos Ricos. He's a pain in the ass on purpose. That's his character. It works. But he's a good friend of all of ours. So anyway, he knows, and he's a big fan and a supporter of this podcast, and he's always giving me words of encouragement and words of inspiration. So for that alone, thank you, Ace. I really appreciate it and everything you guys do for me. Between you and all your little minions out there, the Coach D's of the world, which, by the way, I'll get into that later. There's a new Coach D in town. So thank you so much. So what did Ace do for me? Well, Ace hit me up on a message, a private message on Facebook, obviously talking about the podcast here and there and knowing my aspirations of making it in the world of broadcast. I mean, look, I keep plugging away. I keep throwing shit at a wall, seeing what's sticking, and just go forward. What did Ace do? So Ace told me that his best friend's brother-in-law, which I know sometimes when you think about this kind of stuff, it's like, ugh, all right, my cousin's sister's aunt's uncle's best friend's third cousin removed knows this guy, but this was very like, hey, my best friend's brother-in-law is Al Dukes. Al Dukes is the producer for Boomer and Carton in the Morning on WFAN in New York. He said, give me your resume. This is now the second time that somebody from that show has asked for my resume. So I finally beefed it up, got my accurate numbers on my podcast, put all my awesome experience on there, I submitted it. So what that turns into, I have zero idea. But it never hurts to keep expanding and try to move on and further in broadcasting. Do I think I would go in there and take over for Mike Francesa? I fucking should, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's just, again, I'm a foot in the door kind of guy. Once I get my foot in the door, I embrace, you know, everything that's given to me and everything that kind of presents itself to me. So I'm excited. Well, as I said, will it turn into something? Who knows? If it turns into nothing, no big deal. But thank you, Ace, for looking out. So it's always about networking and the people you know that help you out the most. And Ace is doing a phenomenal job. He's basically ahead of, you know, not to reveal too much, but he's really leading the charge as far as the marketing team, street teams and stuff like that, promoting our product, which obviously WrestlePro is coming off of a huge event in Starland. And we're on the way and on the road to May 20th at the Rahway Rec Center. Now, it's funny that this podcast airs today. It's May 2nd as I record. It'll debut. It'll drop on May 3rd, so 5-3. On May 1st of 2014, I dropped Thursday Night Destruction, my first ever live episode on Blog Talk Radio, which is by far the worst platform you can ever do a podcast on. It's awful. The only cool thing that was, it was very easy to take callers. So I'm still working on that, still working out the kinks, and we'll see what happens going forward. However, 3 years, I released the first portion of my podcast life, and it was fun. I had a lot of cool episodes. We had an NFL draft special where I had a party at my house, and then we had I had guest after guest after guest, all my friends mostly, you know, getting all my boys on there, trying to get them some recognition, and, you know, go from there. My most notable interview was with Simon Diamond, Pat Kenny of Impact Wrestling. He's a friend of mine outside of wrestling, which, you know, again, I don't get excited, but I was approached by him saying that there could be something in the works for me. Don't know what that is. Don't, you know, whatever the case may be, I'm excited. If it's nothing, again, he took the time to reach out to me and say, hey, XYZ, this could possibly happen. And I said, thank you. No matter what, I don't care how it pans out. It's just that now you know your work is being recognized. And that's the best part about all this. So, you know, if there's 143,000 downloads of this thing so far, you know, sky's the limit. And we're only a few weeks off of 250,000 downloads on a guy from New Jersey who's just trying to live his dream as a broadcaster, as a play-by-play guy. And now, as of Starland Ballroom, your new ring announcer. That's right. Dave Destruction Sturcio is a ring announcer for WrestlePro. Now, before everybody goes nuts and says, but wait, why? How? Why did this come about? Well, I'm not about to sit here and tell you story after story and fact after fact. Okay, I know the facts. I've been there. I lived it. The problem I have with, you know, obviously I did my debut and I, you know, was nervous at first, but once I fell and settled into a groove, I thought I was doing fantastic. And it was then told to me by multiple people in the back saying that that was the best they've heard in a long time. And it was refreshing. And that's the word we're looking for right now, is refreshing. And I firmly believe that it's only the beginning. And you saw it, you heard a small sample. I didn't think in a million years I would ever be the guy to introduce Diamond Dallas Page. You know, it was one of those things where it's like surreal that that's going to open the show. And then I had my interview with Bobby, and then I introduced everybody. And then David Starr gave me a friggin' laundry list of monikers that he calls himself, which I didn't know this. And he tells me, he's like, yeah, it's part of my thing. So, you know, do what you can. And I'm like, oh my God, he's got like 17 nicknames before introducing David Starr. So I was losing my breath over that. But I think I did okay. And, you know, for everybody that supported me and gave me a, you know, a pat on the back or an attaboy or a, you know, that was awesome, which I got a lot. I got a lot of nice, positive feedback. So what does that mean and what does that turn into? Well, it turns into people getting, you know, butthurt. It gets into people getting upset and it gets into boo-hoo, what about me? That's not the way it should be, okay? This is not my first go-around under the Pat Buck umbrella. I was kicked out before, okay? I spit off at the mouth like a schmuck on a podcast long ago, okay? I was kicked out, I was reprimanded, I was threatened, and I was fucking basically brutalized by a couple guys on the roster telling me to basically go eat shit and die. Okay? And that was a long time ago. I was in a different place. But what did I do? After I messed up and I made my mistake, okay, my big, big mistake that got me kicked out of PWS at the time, what did I do? Well, I basically tucked my tail in between my legs and I got out of there. I didn't say another word. I didn't say another bad word about the company. I didn't say, boo-hoo, oh my God, what am I supposed to do now? I didn't say, hey, I'm a free agent. Hey, I can do this. I'm going to sign with whoever, you know. Oh, I guess I'll just sweep the ring. Like, I didn't say any of this shit. Nor did I try to tell any of the fans that I was fired wrongfully. I was, you know, treated and mistreated badly. I didn't say any of that to anybody. I was professional. I took my fucking medicine and I was gone. Poof. Like thin air. Just gone. So what this said individual is doing right now is complete utter bullshit. Why do I say that? It's because it's not fair that the WrestlePro roster, myself included, the staff, now the marketing people, the people behind the Facebook, the people behind all the social media, the people behind the music, the people behind the lighting, everybody that is putting together this fantastic show, like you saw at Starland, and like you will see in May, June, July, fucking September, October, the rest of the year, you will see hardworking individuals bust their asses for people to come see the show. Okay? We are not doing anything detrimental to this company because we're a big family. So what did this said individual do? He went on record to say he's never felt so betrayed. He's never felt so alone. I can't believe this is happening. And then said took that down. There was a post. He took it down. Why? Because somebody on our roster probably smartened him up. And then I was hearing he wanted to come back. And then did I feel threatened? No, I'll just go back to the commentator's table. That's it. I have a role. I'm okay. I'm not going to get all pissy pants. It's not going to happen. So, okay, you want to come back. Great. So take one show off, come back in good faith, and we'll see if we can just move on and keep on chugging along as a company and as a brotherhood. What did he do? Pop off again. Let's all turn this around on me. Make people that go to our shows on a monthly regular think that we're just the devil. And that's not fucking fair. Because none of us did anything to deserve that. And it's bullshit and Bush League. And I strongly, strongly suggest, I am an Italian, high-tempered man as is. I strongly suggest, and if you're hearing my voice, or if you're a fan of the show and you want to be a little fucking rat and he was talking about you, that's fine too. But shut your mouth before somebody shuts it for you. Everybody makes mistakes. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. The world has made mistakes. It's how you react to your mistakes and learn from your mistakes. It's what makes you and defines you. You, my friend, need to check yourself before you riggedy-riggedy wreck yourself. And I'm serious when I say that. I know I'm joking and I'm a free spirit and I'm always like having a good time. But at the same time, you seriously need to look at yourself in the mirror. And if you're so dedicated and so happy to be a part of this big family we know as WrestlePro, then maybe you shouldn't start kicking your own family in the dick by trying to turn people against us. And yes, that's exactly what you're doing. I don't want to hear, well, you know, that wasn't my intent. Well, guess what? That's what's happening. When people are mad and people are frustrated about the shit that they read online because it turns into a pity party, that's bullshit. And I'm not, listen. You've listened to me for 17 episodes now. In the 18th, I sound angry. I may have sounded angry one more time in 18 weeks when I was talking about that bigot down in Maryland. That was the only time I have ever sounded pissed off. And right now, I'll admit, I'm pretty pissed off. Because what did that do for me? Me on a personal level. We're supposed to be boys, right? We're supposed to be friends. We've been boys. We've been on freaking TV together. We've done commentary together. We've traveled together. So what do? You basically set me up for failure by telling everybody some hocus pocus bullshit story and turning all of this around into we're the bad guy and now the replacement, me, sucks. And now the replacement, me, shouldn't stand a chance. I read comments saying, why is Dave Destruction up there? And then I saw another comment saying, you know, we'll just riot or we'll just protest. Good. Go fucking protest. don't come to the show. I was at Starland, and the funniest moments of that entire night were a bunch of guys in the front row booing the shit out of me the entire night. I found it hilarious. I laughed. I flipped them the bird like we were having fun all night. So if you're trying to turn the people up against me before I even have a shot to start, then fuck you, bro. Seriously. I mean, I have nothing else to say to you. It's just silly and stupid what you're doing. Hope that didn't hurt your feelings. And I hope you don't take another selfie of you looking like you're about to cry. Enough. So anyway, I got that off my chest. This is what this podcast is for. This is no ill will. I'm not bashing anybody. I'm not. All I'm saying is, please, stop. Just stop. You're lucky it's coming from me and not from somebody above me. Because they're just embarrassed and they just feel sorry at this point. Me, I'm a little bit more high-tempered and I get pissed off a lot easier. So, that's that. Anywho, WrestlePro, in all entirety, you know, and we'll be releasing matches, which I can't thank Carlos enough. And his company and his boys and Money Morales and all the cameramen. Danny Walsh was there. The other guy, I forget his name. They were all there. And they all did a fantastic job recording the show and getting it to us immediately. Because I struck the fear. Not the fear of God. I just said, listen, we need this shit on an immediate basis. We do. It's just what we need. We need it now. And I'm telling you right now, it was money. We released a video last night. One match so far, Matt McIntosh and Valerio Lamorte versus Habib and CPA. And as it stands right now, before I started recording, I took a look one more time. We're at 1,800 views. And these are organic views. This isn't a paid viewing. We know how to do that on Facebook. You pay a couple bucks and you boost it a little bit. This was not boosted at all. So part of me is like, wow, 1,800 people just saw a fantastic match. And selfishly, 1,800 people heard my commentary and me and Eddie. And at this point, and I talked to Eddie last night, we're fucking good. We're really getting good. And I mean, we are gelling. We are like, we're feeding off each other left and right. Because why? Because we're friends outside of this. This isn't some awkward like, oof, I don't know. Like the first day that me and Money Morales went, of course it's going to be a little off. We don't even know each other. But eventually you build morale, you build trust, you build like, you feel each other out. And just last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever I was in Queens, we killed it. So me and Eddie have been doing this and we've been at this for quite some time now. I want to say October of last year till now. So we've had a lot of practice. And Eddie is so good at being a heel manager and a Bobby Heenan type where I'm the gorilla type. And it was like it's working. So I know I'm always the one looking for work and looking to expand my shit. But if you want to hire us as a team, do that too. Because we're money. And we know it. I guess I just quoted Swingers. But whatever. I'm just saying we're very good at what we're doing. We're enjoying it. All we hear is positive feedback. And yeah. So WrestlePro as a whole, the show, top to bottom, amazing. We had a 30-man rumble. We had some nostalgia pop up in Starman, which turned out to be Bobby Wayward. And it was just, it worked so good. And everybody was duped. And, you know, it was just one of those things. And oh, yeah, by the way, my student who said he was coming showed up with his older brother, his dad, his grandpa. They had the front row. I sat them right behind me. And if you watch this kid, his eyes just opened up with joy. And let's keep in mind, and I don't know if I've ever disclaimed this, but he's legally blind, so he needed front row. So I made sure, get front row. So everything's in front of him. He can see, obviously. It's just one of those things where I think the legally blind is, he needs help seeing things when they're really up close. And from far away, he's kind of okay. But anyway, that's irrelevant. But he is a fantastic human being. He's a little guy. He's 10, 11 years old. And He gives me the definition of what a wrestling fan should be at this point right now. And I don't care how old you are. You know, it's just over and over again I hear constant bitching and moaning about the same shit. Oh, well, this one's not feuding like we wanted to. And oh, that House of Horrors match was really bad. And all I hear is just negative bitching and moaning. And you know what the worst part about all this is? And I watched this and I read it with my own two eyes. Guys in the business, a year, 2 years, 3 years in, and I'm only about five, and I never do it. But guys that are newer than me are shit talking. Oh my God. You know, like, when are you gonna get it? That if you want a job there, and that's where we quote make it in professional wrestling, which again, I find it to be bogus. That's not, I don't think WWE is making it in professional wrestling. I don't think that anymore. But if that's the goal and that's the end goal, then you probably should stop popping off and talking shit about the company. The marks want to do it, let them do it. I mean, it's just, there's no pleasing certain people, and that's that. You know, like, you're never going to please the certain people. And unfortunately, that, like, that's the way of the world. There's too many negative people out there that just don't appreciate good wrestling. This little guy, he appreciated good wrestling. I mean, there was guys getting thrown into the guardrail right in front of him, and you just saw this rush. And you know, he got his autograph. He got his real belt, because the fucking thing was like 20 pounds. He got the thing autographed by Swoggle and DDP. And then on top of that, which was the cutest and melted my heart, he comes up to me, "Mr. S, I want you to sign the belt too." And I'm like, no, you know, like, I am not signing my name next to Diamond Dallas Page like I'm something special. And he goes, but I haven't said that to him. I was like, dude, I'm not going to sign that belt. DDP just signed your belt, man. That's huge. He goes, yeah, I know, but you're just as important. And like, I'm like, oh my God, I just want to just collapse and just hug the kid. And I'm like, nah, man, I'll sign something else for you another time. But, you know, you keep this, you frame this. It's signed now by WWE Hall of Famer Diamond Dallas Page. So it was just awesome. It was awesome to see him enjoy it. The show itself was like a sleeper show. You know, who were the big names that came in? I mean, obviously our guys are getting notoriety. Mo, Kevin, Fala, they're on Impact every week now. And the names we brought in were Moose, DDP, Swoggle, Michael Elgin, which, you know, do they have appeal? Of course, DDP does. Elgin, yeah, hot on the indies. Swoggle, yes, we've seen him before. He's the man. But, like, if you think about it, this isn't like your Bret Harts or your Ric Flairs or your massive, massive stack marquee show. You have a lot of indie guys and you have a lot of our homegrown guys, and we knocked it out of the park. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. And, like, obviously, of course, I mean, you work for a company, you want it to do well. But, like, at the same time, you know, me and Eddie had a conversation a couple nights prior, and he was a little nervous. He was like, nah, I don't know, man. Like, I hope it draws. And I'm like, dude, it's gonna draw. And it did. And we, like, I know it's hard to say sold out, because of course there's a couple chairs here and there that aren't occupied. But, like, the crowd was heavy. The crowd was just into it the whole time. They just had a great time. They were heckling me the entire night. It was fantastic. And that's exactly how you want to head into the next show. The next show, obviously, May 20th, Rahway Rec Center. Cody Rhodes taking on Joey Janela. A couple other matches announced. Colt Cabana returns to take on Alex Reynolds. Fala Ba takes on Bobby Fish. Sorry, I drew a blank for a second. And then also, you have Dan Ma versus Mario Bacara, which is going to friggin' blow the roof off. That's four right there worth the price of admission, plus all your WrestlePro guys, plus everybody else we're bringing in. It's going to be a fantastic night, and obviously I will get better at what I'm doing and hopefully kill it, you know, with you know, I try to put my blinders up and not look at everything that's being said under the other one's status, but you have to look. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, feelings are hurt, I'll be okay. You know, I'm a grown man. I've heard worse, and I've been told worse than a couple of guys saying, oh, you know, F this guy. Like, I don't care. But it is your fault. So you did bring this on to me, and I didn't ask for it, because I've been having the best time of my life over the last, you know, couple months. It's been 9 months now. And, you know, to touch on that, it was May 1st yesterday, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I posted this thing, and it's got a really good response. And it's something where, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to bounce back from depression, anxiety, anything like that. And I was literally diagnosed with it. Like, I can't even say, like, oh, I'm depressed, like everybody else does every day of their lives. You know, like, I'm not feeling good. I just, you know, blah, I hate my life. Like, no. I was legitimately, like, heart racing, sweating, choking on my own vomit, like, kind of shit. Like, it was bad. It was bad. It was the job, and it was just, and with the job that I had, it really like just threw a wrench in everything I wanted to do. I couldn't get down to training. I couldn't get to the gym. I couldn't do shit. There was no freedom to do anything. And I knew I was making good money for the hours I was putting in, but I was also killing myself in the process. And my mental health was just taking a nosedive. And in turn, my physical health too. No gym, no working out, no cardio, no nothing. Just showing up to work, sweating off every single ounce that I had. I was losing unhealthy weight because I wasn't hydrated on certain days. You know, it was just, then I crashed the truck. You know, the truck I was in, I crashed it. I could have died. And right then and there, when I crashed that truck and I'm laying in a hospital bed, and this is a true story, I said to myself, I'm like, this ain't where I want to be. And I'm 30 at the time. I was like 30 going on 31, and now I'm 31 going on 32. I'm like, you know what? I got to make a change. I don't know what, but I got to make a change. And I left. I left a lot of money on the table. To me, it was a lot of money. I don't know what a lot of money is nowadays. You know, I find $5 on the ground and I'm like, oh boy, that's like four Slurpees. You know what I mean? Like, I get excited about the little things. So, what did I do? I went and, talked to a couple of close friends and I talked to a psychiatrist and, you know, I told everybody the deal and everybody close to me knew what was going on. I was on the brink of some seriously bad shit. So what do you do when you're on the brink? You go seek help. And I truly believe that if there's something wrong and you feel it deep down inside, that seeking help is not like, it's not a cop out. It's a solution. And it really did wonders for me because this psychiatrist was able to tell me that he could see me instructing. He could see me in a school setting. And I never thought in a million years, a person who didn't like school because I was bullied most of my life. So I never really liked high school. I never liked middle school. I didn't like any of that shit. I only went to college for 2.5 years to get my associates. Yes, 2.5. Go fuck yourself. But 2.5 to get an associates. And then I went to a trade school, the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And I'm like, that's it. I don't want to go to any more schools. So to find myself in a school system, working as a one-on-one paraprofessional with a student with learning disabilities and rage problems and all this other shit, that's a big, big transition. Unfortunately for me, it's a transition where it comes with a very, very big pay cut. I had to take a lot of steps back. I'm not buying my stuff, buying as much stuff for myself anymore. And I'm okay with that because I'm happy. And I mean, who doesn't want to get out of work at 2 o'clock and do something like this as I record at 3:45 on a Tuesday? I mean, it opens up the doors for more shit I can promote. I can broadcast. I can do things during the week now. I can go to the gym. I can go out and watch the Rangers tonight because I can get up tomorrow morning and feel fulfilled, feel like I'm doing something right no matter how late the night is or how much lack of sleep. Like last night, I got like 3 hours and it was only because I kept looking at the stupid ticker on how many people were watching this video. I was so obsessed with it. I'm like a numbers freak. But that's what I did. And you can do that too. I'm only encouraging you not to do it as a... Like, don't just do it out of left field and say, you know what, fuck it, I don't want to work anymore and just go on and, like, sit on your ass and do nothing. Have a plan, you know? And, you know, a friend of mine, we talked the other night, and it was a conversation about purpose. Like, what's my purpose in life or what's her purpose in life? Like, what are these purposes and what do you get up every day for? I don't air people's stories, but, like, I worry about people that I care about. So I'm always concerned that he or she has a good day when they have a, you know, if they're close to me and I give a shit about you, I hope you have a great day every day. You know, but if you're showing me signs of where I was and just kind of like sitting at home and just doing nothing and just staring at the walls and just finding yourself in tears, I was there. I was doing that last year. I was just crying and just not knowing what I'm doing with myself. You know, you really do have to embrace everything that you do have right now and not worry about everything else happening around you or who else is doing what. That was one of my biggest things. I said, well, you know, Timmy over here is making X amount and my boy Mark over here is killing it. He just bought a boat. You know, all these guys are, my best friend Greg has a jet ski. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have any of that shit and I don't see any of that shit in my immediate future. But there's a time and a place where you're just like, oh my God. And you're comparing yourself like, oh, they have kids. I don't have kids yet. you know, and then like that gets put on hold because of circumstances, and you're like, oh my God, like, what the fuck, you know, like, why can't I have what everybody else has? But like I said to her, and I'll say to you, and anybody who, you know, listen to my voice, you know, embrace what you have, appreciate everything around you. You know, you have a roof over your head, air in your lungs, food on the table, and a couple extra bucks to buy gym gear, whatever case may be, or a nice new shirt for yourself, or do your hair, whatever the fuck you people do, you know, but like, you have that extra coin, you got a lot going on. You have a lot more going on than some people that don't have anything. And that's something you're going to have to like face. And I call it the face everything and rise theory. So it's fear, face everything and rise fear. And it's one of those things where, yeah, you got to face this head on. You got to have a purpose in life. And if you don't know what it is right now, that will come to you. I didn't know what mine was until some, you know, same person told me, you know, like, this is your purpose. You're helping kids and you're doing the broadcasting thing. And like, you're inspiring people. I'm getting emails that I'm inspiring people. Like, what the fuck world do I live in right now where I'm the one giving you your motivation for the day? But that's, I don't know why I'm sniffling. It's fucking allergies. And I don't even think I have allergies. I'm probably crying. It's okay. Don't even worry about it. I'm not crying. I just have something in both of my eyes. But no, I just, I truly believe that, you know, you'll find your purpose. And if you can inspire somebody and I can change somebody's mindset one day at a time, one day at a time, there's no reason to set these massive long distance goals where if you're in a funk right now, it's one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. Okay, from 9 to 10, I felt really good. Yeah, from 10 to 10:45, I was like, I don't feel so great right now. But then at 11, I was great. Just 1 hour at a time. Set goals, crush them all, and kick the shit out of life. Back after this. I'm not afraid.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me. I'll get you there.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take the sting out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you...
What do you hear? What do you say? It's Gino Guts. I'm here on Destruction 101 Podcast, which is on the Shiny Wizards Network. Now this week I want to get right into it because I'm annoyed. I'm pissed off. Let's talk about when people don't have control over others that they need to have control over. Let's start small with parents. If you have your kids in a restaurant and they're running around like little jerks, or they're taking the salt and pepper shakers and pouring them all over the floor, you need to give them a rap in the back of the head. There's an old Italian saying, screw up once, lose two teeth. Get control of your kids. Now you want to talk about getting control of your kids. The New York Mets, their organization, we've lost almost every single superstar we've had. And why? It's through no fault of their own. It's through the fault of Terry Collins. Terry Collins is the manager of the greatest collection of pitching phenoms to ever grace baseball. And what does he do? He lets them control his team. It's like a frat house where there's a keg stand every 3 minutes. And Terry Collins is going, well, I want to be their friend. Fuck that. You're not his friend. You're his manager. Do what's best for him and the organization. You want to talk about what's best for my organization? That's right, my organization, the New York Mets. Fuck Seven Line Army and that Darren piece of shit. You fake-ass cheerleading fans. I swear to God, the next time I'm calling you out, Darren. You and your Seven Line cheerleaders, I don't ever want to see you at a game anymore. And you know what? Those fair-weather fans, they're not going to be there supporting you and lining your pockets, you greedy fuck. I'm the new leader of the Met militia. You don't need an army to be a Met fan. That's right. You know what, Darren? You're only as good as your last envelope. And hopefully, that one's coming soon. Keep that hustle going, Darren. You know what? Follow me at Gino_Gods, Darren. I'm finally. I'm waiting for you. We're waiting for you. Not militia. You don't need an army.
Let's go, Yankees. Oh, man. Little Gino Gatz sounding like an angry little elf. Well, I listen. I guess Thor wasn't really a superhero, was he? Or Matt Harvey or any of these guys. You're right. With that pitching staff, that team should be cruising by just scoring 2 to 3 runs a game, 4 runs max, while your pitching staff holds it down and just lets up 2 a game. Boom. You'd be solid. I mean, you're not my first place Yankees, but hey, listen. You dig yourself in much of a hole. Like,
Yankee hate hasn't been that strong in years past, but this year with this fucking garbage team that's winning games, it's all a fluke. The fire is burning. Full-blown Yankee hate.
I'm actually offended, and I will not be facing any of those facts about the Yankee hate, because I know Gino Gatz was about basically shitting all over Fairweather fans. There's nobody more Fairweather than 1 5-star Pete Farr on Facebook. You little shit. You're a Mets fan. You're a Mets fan, and now your profile picture is a Yankees jersey with your family and yada, yada, yada. No. Uh-uh. And then, on top of that, all your snaps are about Nashville and how good they're doing in the playoffs. No. You're a Rangers fan. That drives me bonkers. Oh, my God. Like, I'm like, stressed the fuck out because of his shit. You, if you're a sports fan, okay, and you latch onto a team. I latched onto all my teams when I was little, okay? Did I have a great childhood? Yeah. Yankees couldn't be beaten. The Cowboys won 3 Super Bowls in the 90s. The Rangers won the Cup in 94. The Knicks were doing certain things in 94, 95, and in 2000. So I had it good. But then it's been a dry spell, okay? Except for 2009. Yeah, 9? Yeah. Yankees won the World Series in 2009 where I lost my shit in excitement. You know, besides that, I've seen nothing. So, do you see me running around saying, well, I'll just pull for this team, or I'll root for that team? Like, there's nothing worse than a Fairweather fan. And I'm telling you right now, Pete, we're friends, we're buddies, somewhat. Knock it off. Because that's bullshit. You don't get to have a second favorite team because your team's not doing very well. The Rangers are down 2-0. I can't. Oh, my God. Like, what if the Rangers get eliminated and Nashville moves on? They're going to fucking buy jerseys and shit? No. No, no, no. Anyway, I don't even know how long this has been going. Did I have any questions? No, I don't know if I had any questions. I think I did have one by Raymond Sanchez, if I'm not mistaken. I know this is dead air, dead air, dead air. I'm sorry. Yeah, Raymond Sanchez. Here's a question. And obviously, I don't get a lot of these anymore. So here's a question I'll answer. Here's a question, brother. Okay, Hogan. With the Indies growing and the E. Oh, God, 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 God. I hate when people call it the E. Jesus Christ. It's the worst. With WWE and Impact Wrestling picking up great athletes, who do you see as the next breakout star on the Indies that they should look out for? Well, that's very easy. I'm very home and I'm very biased with my homegrown guys. Anthony Bowens, Matt McIntosh, Chris Payne. Those three guys jump out at me for what they've done and what they're doing currently. If I had to look outside of that, I'm going to say it. Maxwell Jacob Feinstein. He's good, you know. He always thinks I bury him and stuff. It's not that I bury him. I guess I'm just jealous. I don't know. Maybe. No, I'm not jealous because, you know, you're doing things that I could never do, and that's fine. And that's so I guess it is jealousy, huh? Whatever. Maxwell Jacob Feinstein's on his way. I wish that certain people would get looks that are in the business for a long time. I wish, you know, I know Pat's got a school to run and a company to run, but seeing Pat on Impact wouldn't be so bad. You know what I mean? Like, and the way those guys run their schedule, I don't see why that couldn't happen. So maybe that happens in the near future. Dan Moff, I want to just, I can't say enough about the guy. You know, like, he's just the best of the best. He can go. He's got the wind. He's got the power. He's got the look. Like, he's just perfect. From what I've seen over the last couple of weeks, I wish my friend Arcadia would catch a break and, you know, do big things on the wrestling scene. There's a lot of people out there that are really taking pro wrestling by storm. There's also a lot of people in pro wrestling that shouldn't be pro wrestling. So there's definitely two opposite sides of the spectrum there. There really is. And So, I mean, I'm not one to knock people's abilities, but if you don't got it, you don't got it, and you should just go. Be a fan again or whatever. And stop wrestling for... Stop wrestling in front of these horrible shows with horrible conditions and, you know, just wasting your time. You're wasting your time and you're wasting the fans' money that paid to see good wrestling, and then you wind up throwing a stinker month after month. And if you're listening to this and you're questioning, am I one of those guys? And most likely you are. So don't, just go away. I'm not one to do that. But anyway, what I want to get into. Oh, before I wrap all this shenanigans up, obviously, this week is a big week because Battle Club Pro is back. The last time we had our joint show, this is our show by ourselves back in the Bronx. I'm very excited. I love this venue. I truly, truly do. It's very intimate, very Evolve-ish, and very underground. We got a stack card. If you saw the video that I posted, I guess a week ago or however long ago it was, stack card, a lot of cool guys on the card. Mike Orlando, Mike Verna, Brute's back, Van Slyke, Anthony Bones is on the card, McIntosh, Gino Gotts, I believe, is the new backstage correspondent. I'm not certain. I think I got him the gig, so I think we're driving up together. Save me a couple friggin' bucks. But yeah, I think that's really, Battle Club has always delivered. First two shows we've really kicked the shit out of, and I truly think we're going to do it again. And it gets better with time, and the name value is growing in the Bronx. And it's just something about being in the Bronx for me personally. I'm just avid Yankee fan. And it's going to be stacked. And then obviously next week we'll do the fallout, and I'll let you know exactly what happened. But I guess we're going to wrap this up because I don't even know how long it's been. But it's I've covered a lot. Some of it was anger. And it was only anger because I'm just tired of people just – doing wrong by people. I think it's time that you take a look in the mirror and just do right by everybody. Be on everybody's good side. There's no reason to be on anybody's bad side, especially if you're still trying to do work, any kind of work, in this business of professional wrestling. So just stop shitting where you eat. Is that the term? Shitting where you eat or shitting where you sleep? Eating where you... I don't fucking know. Whatever. But whatever the case may be, you know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, with that being said, follow me on all my social medias, please. At Dave Sturch on Twitter, at Dave Destruction on Instagram, Facebook.com/Destruction101, Facebook.com/Dave Destruction. A couple high notes. I just recently received my contract to sign on the dotted line to basically say that I'm going to be working at the same school next year for 2017, 2018, which is like kind of crazy if you think about it. Like 2018, you're thinking about already. The years are flying. But start living, everybody, because really, I mean, like I just said it right there, like 2018 is right here. Like 2018, I'm going to be 32. You know, if you think about it, though, there's two sides of that spectrum. And I don't want to go back into another rant, but there's two sides of that spectrum. There's like, oh, my God, I'm 32 and I haven't done much. Or, oh, my God, I'm 32 and I've literally only lived half of my life. I would assume, based on my health and whatever else, that I make it to 64, you know, like, so you're telling me that everything I've done in my life, and I'm only halfway done, so I got a whole half left? It's a lot. Glass half full, not half empty. It's the only way you can look at life. And as my friend who referred to me as Bruce Lee the other day, who gave me a nice quote, Bruce Lee, actually gave me like three nice quotes from Bruce Lee. It's one of those things where perception is reality. If you carry yourself like you're a fucking rock star, people are going to treat you like a rock star. Thank you for everybody who listened. Thank you for everybody for subscribing, rating, reviewing. Thank you for everybody who sent me messages and gone out of your way to say that I'm inspiring you in any chance. And I'm going to announce this right now before we go. Starting probably next month or next, probably in a couple of weeks, I will be starting my own book. And what this book will cover is undetermined yet. I was also told it's probably too early to write a book because there's so much more to come. But what I think is this journey from 2007 to 2017, 10 years worth of broadcasting journeys with the trials and tribulations, I think that can make a good book. You know, feeling like you're at the depths of hell and then feeling you're on top of the world. And my motivational tips on how to get there. So, yeah, that'll be my next project. So, with that being said, I will see you guys all next week. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your Cinco de Mayo. Please drink responsibly. Do not drink and drive. I tell you firsthand not to do that shit, okay? I know it's like kettle calling the black. Wow, I can't get nothing right. I gotta go. I can't do this anymore.